Something I'd like to share this afternoon. It's been on my heart for some time. Just been kind of waiting on the Lord, see when He wants to bring it. Thinking about the troubled world that we live in, how people are so restless. People are so dissatisfied. You ever notice the people that are just looking for trouble? They're just looking for something to find fault with. It's a very negative world, isn't it? There's not a whole lot of positive things that are going on in our world. Therefore, I'm very grateful for the positive Word of God and the influence that the Spirit has upon our hearts. We don't thrive very good on negativism. Negativism causes a lot of things. It causes depression. Negativism causes crime. Because the way people are looking at things through the negative context, it's bringing about broken homes, marriages, families. That's all negative. It's all things that are not satisfying and fulfilling and uplifting, but it's things that are very discouraging that are going on in our world today. And if you stop and really consider it, when God created everything, He stepped back and He looked at it and said it was good. But I wouldn't call what's going on around us today good. And that's because of sin. Sin's got involved in it. And it's construed the way people look at life and the way people look at things. And I know the devil's behind it. He's doing everything that he can promote, doing everything he can do to promote this negativism that's in our world today. Negativism is infectious. I want you to remember that. Because we live in this world and we're influenced by the things that go on around us, we don't want to be, as people of God, we don't want these things to infect us. We don't want them to affect us. We don't want to become part of this negative outlook upon the things of life. I read that according to researchers, that the negative point of view is emphasized in 86% of news broadcasts. Now, I think about the people, I think it's 11 o'clock. I don't know for sure because I don't have a television, but I think they watch the 11 o'clock news. The news today that they watch is all negative. Very little positive things that are going, and that's what people are feeding off of. Those things affect people, whether they realize it or not. It's what they're feeding off of. And it's having a real impact upon the destruction of our nation. It's having a real impact on what's going on in our country today. I want us to consider this afternoon a little bit about our minds. Mind is it's a wonderful thing. But our minds are very fragile. Our minds, we must guard our minds, guard our thoughts. Our minds have been collecting, mind is like a computer. It's been collecting data for many, many years, every year of your life. Your mind's been collecting things. You've been learning. You've been developing things, and all these things are in your mind and in your thoughts. And in your mind is where choices are made. And really, in the ultimate end of things, the way I understand the word, that's what we're going to give an account of, are the choices that we've made in life, the things that we've done and how we've conducted ourselves. But I want us to get a hold of this little thought that the mind is manipulated by fleshly influence. Manipulated. The devil's a manipulator. And the only thing that he avenue that he has to manipulate you and I is in the mind. He can't deal with us in spiritual things. He can't get to our hearts, but he can get to our hearts through the mind. So the mind is where we have to be on our guard. This little message this afternoon kind of connects a little bit with the morning message. I'd like for us to turn to the book of Numbers in the 13th chapter. Job said, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble," and it seems like that we spend our lives getting back to the place or to the beginning where God would have us to be, where He intended for us to be, because we deal with trouble, we deal with problems, and how we deal with them is very important. How we react to them. You know, we read a lot about fellows and people in the Bible and how successful they were even in their adversities. It wasn't that they didn't have their adversities, but it's how they reacted to them. And it's how they dealt with them. And I want us to look at a very familiar scripture this afternoon in the 13th chapter of Numbers. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send them. Send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel, and they gave all their names," and we won't read all their names. Verse 17, "Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this day, this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up, 12 men, and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came into Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came into the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two men, upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. They returned from the searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses, to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, "We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it." Now remember, this is the land of promise, isn't it? This is the land that God promised His people. "Nevertheless," here we go, "nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. I want us to notice the very second verse of our reading here. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send the men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. When the men were sent over there to Canaan, they were just sent over there to see what kind of land it was. They were not there to make judgment of whether they could take it or not. See, once again, it comes from following instructions. It comes from hearing and listening to what God says. God said, I give it to you. It wasn't a matter of whether we could take it. It wasn't a matter whether they had walled cities. It wasn't a matter whether there was giants over there. God said, I give it to you. Folks, when God gives us a promise and says, I give it to you, stand on it. Accept it. Don't start putting your own thoughts and ideas and human reasoning into things. This is where fear-mongering comes from. That's what these fellows came back. And they brought such a tale and said that because of the giants and the fenced cities and a land that would eat up the inhabitants, they were fear-mongers. That's what they were. They induced panic and fear among the people. You know you can do that with a crowd. The right person that knows how to lead a crowd of people, you can pretty much sway that crowd to get them to do about anything you want them to do. That's how Hitler came to his great rise. And how he got his power. These fellas come back and they were inducing panic and fear. Oh, we can't go over there. We can't take those people. There's giants over there. That's not what they were sent there to do. God said again, I want to read it, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. God's already said, I give you the land. And you know, when they got over there and began to fight in Jericho and all these other places, God gave them their enemies, didn't he? As long as the children of Israel was spiritual Israel, and they were staying away from the idols, staying away from the things that God told them to stay away from, God blessed them. And he gave them victories over their enemies. God still does that for you and I today. As long as we are following God, as long as we keep our eyes on Him and not look at those things that are out there. Because those things that are out there are meant to disturb us. They're meant to create fear within us. Oh, I can't do this. I can't overcome that. I can't conquer this enemy. I can't conquer that enemy. Those things were meant to create fear in us and cause us to draw back. Therefore, it begins to work on our mind. Begins to work on our attitudes. It begins to take away the 20/20 vision, not being able to see properly. Folks, we need to be able to see properly. We need to keep the right frame of mind. Because there's a lot of people, and this is for you and I today, the day that we live in. Let's be on our guard. Because there's people out there. If you look at the process today, that we have going on in our country to elect a new president at the end of the year. Folks, I want to tell you, it can create some thoughts and ideas in our minds. It can create fear. When I look upon that and I see the men and the woman that's running, it creates a great fear and a great consternation in my mind and in my heart. Say, oh Lord, have you forsaken us? Is this the best that we have? Is this all there is? But folks, I want us to know that God is in control. He said, I give you this land. And they went over there for some reason with the idea that they couldn't take it. They were going to have to take it. Folks, it isn't even about you and I taking it today. God give us this land. God give us His promises. Let's stand on it. Let's listen to what God said. And let's do it God's way. Fear-mongering causes negativism. And it's infectious. And it causes, and it brings about a hostile world. Folks, this world's hostile. Our people are lawyer hungry. They're, what do you call them when the lawyers... What is it? Suit happy, that's it. Our people want to file lawsuits on everything. Spill a little bit of hot drink on them when it says right on the carton, Doc, the drink is hot. And whatever, for whatever reason, they want to go and they want to file lawsuits. People are dissatisfied. People are restless, looking for something to cause trouble with. That's what it looks like to me. They're looking for things to create trouble. That's what negativism is. That's what this dissatisfied world has for you and I today. And those things lead to incredible feelings of anxiety. You see how anxious our people are today? An incredible anxiousness of anxiety. Remember when Jesus went into Martha and Mary's home? And Mary, he began to talk to him, and Mary was sitting at his feet, listening to what Jesus had to say. And Martha was cumbered about with the duties and the getting the food together. There wasn't nothing wrong with that. Everybody eats. But folks, sometimes we can get concerned with activities that we don't need to be concerned about. We need to keep our focus on the Lord. We need to keep our focus on what we're doing. And what we're doing is endeavoring to live for the Lord, to glorify and honor and please Him, and to live a holy and a righteous life in doing it. Keep our eyes and keep our focus on what we're doing. Because this whole report that these 10 spies brought back was to get the people's minds all agitated, got them agitated. It created fear within them. And pretty soon, if you go on and read, it said, oh, we can't go over there and we can't take that. And we want to go back, or we don't want to go over there. We want to stay here. And that's exactly what the enemy will try to do to you and I if he can. Do you know that where you are right now, spiritually, where you are right now with the Lord, if the devil can keep you right there for the next 10 years, he's got you. He doesn't want us to grow. He doesn't want us to learn. He don't want us to get more courage. He don't want us to have more faith. He don't want us to have more power in our life. He doesn't want us to believe the promises. He doesn't want us to follow the Lord. You say, well, I feel like I'm very spiritual. Folks, there's no place for resting here. It's a continual moving up, a continual working, moving towards God, continual working out my salvation that I can be what God wants me to be in my life, that I might please God. So I've got to plug my ears like old Pilgrim did in the Pilgrim's Progress. Got to plug my ears. I don't want to listen to the outside world. You know, everywhere I go, there's people say, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? How do you think that's going to work out? Who do you think's going to win the election? Folks, God's in control of all those things. It's in His hands. But if we let those things affect us, we'll have the same fears everybody else has got. We can't afford that. We cannot afford that. Jesus came to bring, He said, what did He say? Peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Isn't that what Jesus said? But yet we have people out there in this negative world that wants to give evil and bad reports and try to create fear and doubt and distrust. Say, well, maybe there's no God. We hear that today. Maybe there's no God. Well, I don't believe there's a hell. Oh, I don't believe there's an afterlife. We got all that today. Do you know what I believe? I believe what the Word of God says. That's what I believe. I believe what God says. I believe everything is just like God said it is, and it's going to be just like God said it's going to be. When we get there, we'll find out. There won't be no atheists there. There won't be no agnostics there. But every knee will bow and confess that He is the Christ. I believe that. That's what Scripture says. Lord, help us to keep our human reasoning out of things that are going on around us. You know why? Because human reasoning overrides faith. It destroys faith. And we've got, Jesus said, when I come back, will I find it? Lord, help us. Saints, we're going to have to keep our focus on the Lord. And let everybody else do what they got to do. Let them believe what they want to believe. Let them get all anxious and out of sorts and all that. Let the world become as negative as it has to be. But let's keep our focus on the Lord. Let's keep our focus on God. Mary, in our little story there, she wasn't overwhelmed with the duties. You know why Mary wasn't overwhelmed and worried about the duties? Because she had a spiritual mind. Lord, help us today. The mind. Lord, help us to have a spiritual mind. A mind so focused on the things of God, and the Spirit of God working and dwelling and moving within us and in our lives. And we look to that and we trust in that and we believe in that. And God is so full and so real to you and us that none of these other things even matter. None of these things even matter. That we not let ourselves be overcharged. Let not your hearts, Jesus said, 21 and 34 of Luke, let not your heart be overcharged. Don't get overcharged with these things. I know sometimes we can say, well, maybe it's a little difficult for us. The influences around us are so great. You hear it and it's pressed upon you all the time, seems like. But let your heart not be overcharged with surfeiting or excess and drunkenness and the cares of life. Keep your focus on God. These fellows would have went over there and they would have saw the giants like Caleb and Joshua did. Yeah, there's giants over there. But with God, we're well able. With God, we're well able to take them. God said He'd give it to us. Let's go take what God said He'd give us. Let's take it for ourselves. God said He'd give it to us. It's hard to not be affected by the things around us. And I understand that. But folks, negativism leads to fear. And leads to resentment. And it leads to anger. You ever wonder why you pick up the paper every day or you turn on the radio and you hear that somebody else got killed last night? Somebody else died last night? Not only just somebody else, but lots of them. People are angry today. People won't take much. People won't tolerate much today. You cross them and they'll take your life. Life's not valuable today to those people. That's the world of resentment that we live in. It's the world of anger. It's the world of fear. People are fearful. They don't know what to do next. This city right here, the city of Springfield, is one of the worst cities in Ohio. According to the reports of murders and things that are going on in this city. The crimes, the drugs. The abuses, sexual abuses, and all these kind of things going on all over the world because people's minds are so focused on everything around them. Don't know what to do with it. Don't know how to handle it. That's why we need Jesus, isn't it? That's why we need the Lord to help us to know how to handle it. You know, people today, they don't ask what is right. They ask what's wrong. You know, what's right about, no, what's wrong about all of this? People today, they ask what's missing. They don't ask what's present. What's there. But everything's negative. What's missing? things that are ugly, not beautiful. That's the way people perceive things. That's the way people look at life. Things that are destructive, not constructive. Lord, help you and I to be constructive every day of our life. Do something constructive for the Lord. Don't ask what cannot be done, but what can be done? What can I do? What can I do to make a difference? Sometimes we feel so feeble and so little about what we can do to make a difference. Let's ask the Lord what we can do to make a difference. Let's ask how we can help someone instead of trying to hurt someone. See what I mean about negativism? People are hurting others today. Let's see if what we can do about helping someone. People talk about what they don't have instead of what they do have. You know, when I start talking about what I don't have, then I forget how blessed that I am of the Lord because of what I do have. And a lot of times I ask people when they said, how are you doing? I tell them, I'm blessed. I'm blessed better than I deserve because the Lord has done so much for me. And He says, no matter what happens, I'll care for you. I'll be there for you. So I don't want to have those kind of attitudes. Whenever I have those kind of attitudes, my vision gets blurred. What's good vision? If these 10 fellas would have had good vision, they went there to spy out the land, didn't they? If they'd have had good vision, they would have looked at all those giants, all those fence walls and cities with the presence of God there. They would have looked at them with God there. With God there to aid them and to help them. He said, I give it to you. It's not a question, see? Got to listen to what God says. It's not a question. Or whether we can take it or not. Sometimes I think about our dear young people. Young married people. I've prayed with a lot of the brethren at altars. Down through the years, they're struggling. Trying to get going in a job. Trying to get their family going. Got one or two little children. And trying to get to the jobs and all that. And the first thing I ask them, how's your prayer life? They just drop their head. Well, I've been so busy. I've been struggling so much, I really haven't taken a whole lot of time to get along with the Lord. You've got to have a prayer life, brother. And my heart goes out to these young people. You and I that are here today, we're older. Probably more established in the things of God. And got a lot of experience behind us. Knows the heartaches that's in our world that we're dealing with today. And young people just starting out and really have a heart to want to live for the Lord. They really have a heart and a desire to live for the Lord. And all of this is against them. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, is it just so overwhelming that they'll be able to make it? But you know, God's able to help anyone that's willing. He's able to help anyone that'll try. Sometimes I hear about someone that just got saved, and I think, oh Lord, in this world, how long are they going to stay saved? And I shouldn't do that because that's negative, isn't it? But I tell you, I know what they're up against. I know how the enemy's going to work on them. Folks, we've got to have a determination. We've got to have a desire. We've got to have a mindset. We're going to heaven at any cost. Whatever it is, that's where I'm going. I'm not looking at the giants. I'm not looking at what's going to happen tomorrow or what happened last week. But my eyes are on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. That's where I want to keep my eyes, folks. Keep them on the Lord. We do live in a dissatisfied world. Maybe sometimes I think we should have some giving goals. We should give more time to the Lord. Give more time to my relationship with God. Give more time to prayer. Give more time to meditation and reading the Word of God. Because the more of God that I have, the more satisfied I am. Think about that. People say, well, I'm just not satisfied. The more God you get, the more satisfied you'll be. So when someone says they're not satisfied, I know what the problem is. You need more God. Because God will bless and satisfy your soul. I want to give it to God because God has given much to me. He has blessed me. He's blessed you too. He's blessed this congregation. For that, I'm very, very grateful for everything that He's done here. I appreciate it so much. I want to look at a scripture. It's a prophecy. Jesus read this prophecy when He was here on earth. 61st chapter of Isaiah. 61st chapter of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me. Folks, this negative world, all these struggles and all these trials, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Oh, I wish people would listen. I wish people would listen. I wish people would believe. I wish this could become so real to them as it is to me. Jesus came to do some things for us, folks. Bind up the brokenhearted. Proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. How many of us here this afternoon was bound in prison? I was bound in the chains of sin, in the prison of sin, bound by it. I mean bound by it. The devil controlled me every day. And He delivered me. He did this for me, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to give a clearing of the mind, to help me to have a healthy mind, that I can have an understanding of the things of God. He gave me His Spirit within me to refresh in me and lead me and guide me into the truth. To proclaim this acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all. Oh, do you know anybody that's mourning today? Do you know anybody that's hurting today? Oh, folks, I know a lot of them. I know a plenty of them that are hurting today. But He said here, to comfort all that mourn. And the Bible says He is the God of all comfort. And I'm thankful that He come to comfort us today. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. That's the church. We have our heartaches and our sadness and sorrows too, don't we? Disappointments. To give unto them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Folks, surely you can feel it. There's such a spirit of heaviness in our world today. There's such a spirit of heaviness, of darkness, of evil that is all around us today. Surely you feel it. You cannot be in this world and not feel it, because it's all around us. The hate mongering, the fear mongering, the contention, the anger. All these things that are all around us. And He tells you and I that are in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Oh, Lord, folks, I want to say this afternoon, we got our work cut out for us. You ever heard that? We got our work cut out for us. You're not going to slide into heaven. If you think you are, I got news for you. You're not going to slide into heaven. God wants us there. It's not His will that any should be lost. But folks, you and I are going to have to work at this thing every day. It isn't going to just fall in our laps. The enemy knows. As old dear old brother Jim White said one time, he knows that when time is over, he'll never be able to deal with the soul of a man again. And he knows that. And he's just as desperate to destroy us as I am as desperate to make heaven. So I've got my battles. We're in for a fight. And I hope you know that. It comes down to how bad I want to go. How bad I want to make it. Because God's grace is sufficient. I found that out. I read that in the Word. His grace is sufficient. So it's kind of in my lap. How bad do you want this thing? Larry, how bad do you want it? We're going to have to fight for it, saints. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Do you know how much money is spent every year for depression drugs? Yes. And the writer here says it's a spirit. The spirit of heaviness. Can you treat a spirit with drugs? No, you can't. You can't treat a spirit with drugs. Lord, help us today, folks. We got the best thing there is in this world if we got Jesus in our hearts. And we got Jesus in our lives. You stay in charge of your mind. You keep in control of your mind. Don't let what your friends say or your children say or whoever it is. Do you know the devil will use the one closest to you to get to you? If he wants to bring you down, he'll use the one closest to you to get to you. One that you love dearly, and he'll use them to try to bring you down. Don't let him do it, folks. Keep your focus on Jesus. Don't look at the giants. Don't listen to them. The fear mongers. Those that are saying, we're in trouble. Yeah, we are in trouble as a nation. But I tell you what, saints, you and I, be faithful. We're going to make it. Song said, Brother Tony and Sister Jeannie used to sing. I've heard them sing it several times. God says you're going to make it. God says we're going to make it. How bad do we want to make it? We got some work to do. I want us to keep the minds of Joshua and Caleb. Keep that mindset. When you're going out there and you're looking at your troubles and you're looking at your giants, you look at them with Jesus on board, will you? You look at them with 20/20 vision that I spoke about this morning. You make sure that God is in the mix in what you're looking at and what you're dealing with. Jesus came to restore our whole outlook on life. That's what He came for. We don't have to get down there where everybody else is, folks. Jesus came, He said, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We can praise the Lord. Right in the midst of it all, we can praise the Lord. He's the way out, isn't He? He can bring about positives in our life. He can bring things in our life and in our souls, folks, that will be uplifting. Not negative, but uplifting, joyous, and that peace that I spoke about. That's what He came to give you and I, and that's what He will give you and I. We have to stand or resist the tides of negativism. It is a negative world. You think about that. You probably, before you pillow your head tonight, if you talk to someone, you're probably going to hear something negative. Because it's full of it. The atmosphere is peopled with negativism. It's full of it. Lord, help us to have the courage to stand with God. Look at this scripture over here in Romans, the 5th chapter. try not to keep you much longer here. Romans, the 5th chapter. We build a spiritual mind by experience. Can you build a spiritual? Yeah, you can build a spiritual mind. Look what he says here in Romans 5:2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Are we all there? Lord, help us to get there, that we can glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Someone said, well, I prayed for more patience, and sure enough, I had more tribulation. The trials came because I prayed for more patience. Folks, that's what it's going to take. Building a spiritual mind. Keeping our mind in tune, our hearts in tune with God. Not only so, and he said, and patience, experience, and experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Folks, it's given to us. What did God tell the children of Israel through Moses? Send them over there and spy out the land that I give them. And right here in this scripture, it said, it's given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given. We don't have to go out and see if we can get it and take it or not. It's ours. Claim it. Stand on it. It's given to us. You see, we need these things today. We need these things because we're all in battles. We're all in trials. You think I don't know that these children of ours pull on our heartstrings? You think I don't know that? They pull on our heartstrings. They make us wish that they, oh Lord, please some way, somehow get a hold of their hearts. It hurts. It hurts, doesn't it? When we see someone we love going the wrong way in life and struggling and not giving their heart and life to God. It hurts. But folks, he's given us something positive. In this negative world, let you and I stay positive. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Oh, keep that love burning. This is a divine love. This isn't a filial love. This isn't family love, folks. The love that he put in my heart goes past the love I got for my wife and my family. I love them dearly. But Jesus is first. My wife and I had that discussion a long time ago. Jesus is first in our lives, in our hearts. He's the one that we serve. He's the one that we want to please. He's the one that's going to help us to make it. My wife can't help me make it. But Jesus can help me and will help me. We build a spiritual mind by these experiences here that I just read. Let me read this encouraging scripture and then I'll close on this. In Isaiah, I think it's the 35th chapter. You know, it's the word of God, and he can say it so much better than I can. So let's just read what the Lord says here. Isaiah 35. This is what the Lord tells us to do in this negative world that we live in today. Verse 3, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. Isn't that encouraging? You believe it? I do. I believe it with all my heart. He's going to come and he's going to rescue me. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Who else can do that but God? Who else can do that? In the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert? The desert is a desolate place. So's the wilderness. But folks, even in those wilderness and desolate times that you and I go through, God will bless our souls. He'll give us some of that living water to sustain us, keep us, even in these days here down in 2016 that we're living in. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Can we take it, folks? Can we take this land? We're well able. God has well equipped His people to take it. It doesn't matter with the giants. Every one of us in here, we've probably been in the way long enough to know that we have fought our giants. And guess what? We've won by the grace of God. We've won. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The way of holiness, the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not enter there, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there. Now folks, he's talking about the natures of the beast, the natures. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Do you know God's made a way for us? He made a highway for us. You know, I wish they'd make a highway just explicitly for the semis, so they wouldn't ride on the same roads that us cars ride on. They're too big. They're behemoth to be riding on the same roads that you and I are riding on. They're dangerous. God's made us a highway, folks, that is greater and higher than any other highway that men walk on today. Redeemed is going to walk there. You want to walk on it? You want to go down this highway? Stay saved. You know what David had to do when he got in his struggles and battles? It got so rough for him one time, he had to encourage himself in the Lord, didn't he? It don't matter what others do. There's a song that says, it don't matter what others do. I must go on. David said, I've got to encourage, if I'm going to stay encouraged, I'm going to have to encourage myself, because I don't have anyone around me to encourage me. There's a highway for us, folks. Get on it. Stay on it. It's for the redeemed. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. Folks, this can happen. I want you to understand. This can happen right in the midst of a negative world and society that you and I live in. We can have that kind of victory. I believe it. Don't listen. Plug your ears. Don't accept it. Here's what to accept. Songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, I tell you, the word of the Lord is so encouraging. It's positive. It's uplifting. When he says that he's going to do something, he said, maybe I will. No, he doesn't say maybe. It shall be done, he said. He says it will be done. When God says it, folks, it's so. You can accept it every time. When man says it, he may not be able to back up what he says, but I tell you, God can. God will back up what He says. His word will stand true. What did Paul say when he was going over there to Rome? He told him, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Lord, help us, saints. We may be few in number. I've been thinking a lot about the remnant lately. May have a little message on the remnant one of these days. There's just a remnant. You take a piece of paper, 8x10 sheet of paper, you keep tearing at, you can make some awful small pieces. Just little remnants of what's left. Folks, the church has been torn many times. People have allowed the enemy to come in and take advantage of them. Think about that. Good people, have allowed the enemy to come in and take advantage of them. And it's been torn. You think about society and our world that we live in today, and our poor young people and the society they live in, and our young girls that are going out there and being abused and becoming pregnant at 13, 14, 15 years old. Folks, that's a rip in the society. Just tears and tears and tears. That's what the enemy's doing today. Just ripping it all to shreds. Till there's nothing left. No moral good whatsoever that is left in society. But thank God, we got something better than that, don't we? We got something positive. We got something good. Something that we can look to encourage us. Is there any reason for us to get discouraged? Is there really? I don't know what it'd be. I think the reason why people get discouraged is because they don't keep their focus. And they forget the promises of God. Folks, there's a highway out there. And guess what? There ain't no semis on it. Just us little cars. Just us little cars. The redeemed shall walk thereon, He said. May the Lord keep us encouraged. Keep pressing on, saints. I'm telling you, it's challenging. I know that. You've been challenged before, haven't you? Well, you're going to be challenged again. It's a challenge, I understand that. But is it going to be worth it? The devil would have us to take our eyes off the goal. The prize, if you will. I want to run, as the scripture says, to obtain the prize. Because there's a prize waiting for us if we'll be faithful and true. Pray for me that I'll be able to do that. Amen.